Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
The National Catholic Prayer Breakfast was held in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday. More from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
The 15th Annual National Catholic Prayer Breakfast was held this morning. President Trump didn't make it, but his acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, addressed the audience of about 1,000 and said that President Trump and the administration are friends of the Catholic faith.
So I'm comfortable as a Catholic, even though I work for a gentleman who is not Roman Catholic, that the principles of our faith are alive and well respected in this administration and are driving many of our policies.
The winner of last month's $768 million Powerball jackpot is coming forward. In Madison, Wisconsin, 24-year-old Manuel Franco says he bought the winning ticket at a Speedway gas station.
I honestly felt so lucky that I did look at the camera, and I really wanted to wink at it because I just had that lucky feeling.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
Former Vice President Joe Biden will announce his 2020 presidential campaign on Thursday. Sources close to Biden are confirming that Biden will announce his candidacy with an online video, and he'll appear in Pittsburgh for an event at a local union hall. Senior advisor to President Trump, Jared Kushner, was speaking during the Time 100 summit in New York on Tuesday. He was asked about the Mueller report and investigations over whether the Trump campaign colluded with Russia during the 2016 campaign.
Quite frankly, the whole thing's just a big distraction for the country. And you look at, you know, what Russia did, you know, buying some Facebook ads to try to sow dissent and do it, and it's a terrible thing. But I think the investigations and all of the speculation that's happened for the last 2 years has had a much harsher impact on our democracy than a couple of Facebook ads. If you look at the magnitude of what they did and what they accomplished, I think the ensuing investigations have been way more harmful.
Hillary Clinton was also speaking at that Time 100 summit, and she was asked about the Mueller report as well.
We were the subject of a foreign adversary's attack, an attack on our election, an attack on our sovereignty, an attack on our democracy. This is not just about a reckoning with the recent past. This is about what is going on today and the threats to our next election, to our defense as a nation.
For more news, you can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hey, this is Joe Peters, and I'm getting ready to do a Real Estate Matters show. We'll get started in about 2 or 3 minutes. First things first, they asked me to give you Weber, a few of our paid commercials, and I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So here's a weather forecast from, and today is Tuesday, the 23rd, 2 days after Easter, 2008. It is currently 79 degrees outside. It feels like summer. It looks like summer. I think it's probably safe to put the snow tires away. Going to go to 55 overnight. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, little clouds in the afternoon, high of 68. Won't be as warm. 68 again on Thursday, 42 overnight, 52 overnight. And then on Friday, we're going to have a little bit of rain, 64, 46 overnight. So we're not getting below 45. And other than today, we're not going above 68. So I think we're into April showers, spring Mayflowers kind of weather out there. A few more commercials. I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, that's my introduction. I always play that first so I don't have to sit here and talk about myself. I do residential real estate across both Hunterdon and Somerset County. I've been doing it professionally for 15 years and have sold hundreds of homes. Would like to help you sell yours or buy one if that's what you're up to this year. Today's show, we're going to talk about listing your house. It's that time of the year, so I thought it would be a very, very timely subject matter about what it needs to be considered when you go to sell or list your house. Once again, I'm Joe Peters. I'm with Coldwell Banker. This is a pretty generic show. What I talk about is my experience. What I'm going to read from today is something that you can find on my website, jpeters.com. And if you look for the overview that says guides there, it's at the footer of every one of my posts. Go to my post, go to the bottom. It'll say guide. There's a buyer's guide. There's a seller's guide. You can download it from there. And this is something that I hand out to people when I first start talking with them so that we can have some talking points to get started and not miss anything. And secondly, it's sort of a reference material. If you forgot what I said, it's right here. And sometimes I miss a point and they go back and read it. Sometimes they read it and have questions about the points. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use it as a guide for today. It's about 22 pages long. It takes about 40 minutes to go through. So if a few commercials, that's about what we have. Today is 2 days after April. 2019. The date is April 23rd, and it's about 4:10, and we're getting started. So we're going to talk about things to consider when selling your house. This is an emotional time for a lot of people. Your house is your house. It's where you raised your family, more than likely, or have lived for a substantial amount of time, and it's filled with your things, and it is customized to your way of living, and it is special to you. Yet, when somebody walks in the front door, it's one of about six or eight that you're going to see that day. And you've got to put yourself in the mindset of somebody who's buying a house. And to do that, you've got to go through some of the things that I'm going to go through with you today. We're going to talk about the five reasons to list your home, and they make perfect sense, but they're important, and it's talking about what's happening in the market as we speak. The very first is that demand is strong. I've never seen it as busy as it is right now. I've been doing this 15 years. I've been through the 9/11 time frame. I've been through the recession. I've been through good years. I've been through bad years. I just have not seen it as busy as it is. And I think it's a combination of two things. Interest rates are at 1.5-year lows. They're not as low as they were at the very bottom, but we'll probably never get back there. But they're a lot lower than they were just 6 months ago. We're sitting at 4.1% interest. That's the best interest we've seen in 18 months. And combining that with the belief that this isn't going to last forever, we'll hit an economic recession sooner or later. People are out looking for homes, and as a result, we have people out looking to list their homes. During the fourth quarter, where we saw several Fed rate hikes, we saw a lot of inventory start to come on, and it started to come on in the 500 and above range, which is good because although that's not where we're busy, it allows people that are selling houses in the areas that were busy to move up a little and find inventory. And in previous years, the last 3 years, there was no inventory. It was very difficult to find another house. Many people just fixed up the one they had and stayed there. Another reason is they didn't feel it was that good of an investment anymore the way it used to be. And from that viewpoint, they fixed it up and stayed there as well. But now that there's inventory out there, we see a lot of people looking to trade up, and I'm working with buyers across all price points across both counties, and I'm seeing it busy throughout. It's an area that the traffic is reflecting the buyer sentiment. Also, at the end of the winter, beginning of spring, there's less competition. I got to admit, we're right into spring. I mean, spring started right around St. Patrick's Day and took off like a shot. So we're at probably the apex of the time when people list their houses right now. But we're still sitting with under 6 months supply across all price points, unless you get over $1 million in Hunterdon County. And that's good inventory position to be in. Historically, the average number of years a homeowner stayed in his or her home was about six. But with the recession, they pushed it out to 10, 12 years because, A, they may have not felt confident in their job. They didn't feel like they could get the price they needed to get in order to break even on their house. Now the time is upon us. We've paid down a lot of equity. 78% of all the houses in New Jersey are in positive equity position with 20% or more equity. So they can easily move up. And then the choices buyers have will continue to increase. Don't wait until the other inventory comes on and to make a decision to sell. The time is now. As a matter of fact, you may be a tad late, but not too late. The process will also be quicker. And I got to tell you, I'm seeing houses sell under 400 the day they come on. Sometimes they go the day before they come on because the agent out doing the listing has a customer in their pocket and they never even make it to the market. But once you get a lot of houses on, well, then they're going to have more to choose from, and you know, a confused buyer doesn't buy. They're going to keep looking till they find exactly what they want. And then when one disappears that they would have settled for, they get a little ambitious or remorseful and start going quicker. There's never going to be a better time to move up. This is the fourth reason for selling today. Moving up just makes perfect sense. If you feel that, okay, I bought my house at $450 and it's only worth $410 today because we really haven't got back to the peak and I bought it at the peak, well, the house you're going to buy is probably not as high in conjunction with the peak as yours is, because the higher up you go, the bigger the gap between what the peak was and what the house prices are. We're still sitting at about 12% off across our area, the two counties of Hunterdon and Somerset. But we're looking at it never being a better time, because Yeah, you're not going to get your money back, but you're going to get it off at the ever end, especially if you're going to spend a little more. Let's say you're going to sell that house for $410. You think you should have gotten $450. And you're going to buy a house at $600 that probably should have sold for $700. So, yeah, you lost $40, but you gained $100. This is, and that's going to go up too. Couldn't be a better time. And then it's time to get on with your life. I mean, people sell houses and buy houses for life events. A life event could be they got married or had children or had more children and outgrew the house, or the children went to college and they don't need that big of a house, or got divorced, or somebody passed and they don't need as big of a house as they have today. Those are all the reasons that people buy, and we have a lot of people just sitting there saying, I'm not moving till I get my price. Well, that price was inflationary anyway. So, in effect, if you were really lucky and sold at the peak, you got your money and you move on, and you probably bought at the peak and your house dropped there too. So, it all works relatively. The tide goes up for all the boats and it goes down for all the boats. I don't care if your boat's a $400,000 boat or a $700,000 boat. You're going to go up and down with the appreciation rates. So let's look at home prices over the last year. In the Middle Atlantic, nationwide, first of all, nationwide, we had a 6.34% appreciation rate. That's pretty good. 6.3%, considering that's the whole house appreciated, and you probably only put 10 or 20% down. In the Northeast, or Mid-Atlantic, we had 4.8%, so we were a little behind. And in New Jersey, we had about 3.9%. I saw more updated figures being more like 3.5%. So the average house in New Jersey last year went up 3.5%. So people ask me right now, everybody's interested in their house, not the average house. So people ask me right up front, what did mine go up? The answer is it depends where you're at and what your price point is. If you're in a very popular area, or most popular areas are Clinton Township and Raritan Township, Reddington Township, if you're one of those areas, the area is the place to be. And if you're in a price point that's under $500, you got a double whammy going. You're in the right place with the right price. Those houses are, they've probably almost appreciated back to full peak. But if you're in one of those areas and you're in a 6 or 7, well, your house probably didn't go up at all last year. And it might have dropped the year before. And if you're at an 8 or a 9, it probably dropped last year as well. But let's say you've got the double whammy going backwards and you're not one of the popular areas and not in a popular price point. Let's say you're up in far reaches of Bethlehem Township. And Bethlehem Township, it's a great place. It's a really nice rural township. And let's say in Bethlehem Township, you're in a house that's in a 750 range. So, A, you're in an area that's not in that much of a demand, and B, you're in a price point that's probably dropped the last year. Your price, so it depends, that's what I'm saying. It depends where you're at price-wise, and it depends where you're at geographically. But on average, 3.5% across New Jersey, and in the popular price points, houses sold under $400,000 almost immediately if they were clean and they were in with the configuration that people were looking for. If you go over to Somerset County, we get about 20% more houses sold typically over there up to $500,000. That's saying so the closer you get to New York, the better off the situation is as far as getting a price for your house because people don't have to commute as far. And one of the things that we've discovered is that people aren't willing to commute as far as they used to commute. When we bought our house in Clinton Township in 1998, I was commuting to Newark Airport, getting on a plane and flying somewhere. So to me, that was under an hour. It was 78 both ways. It wasn't a bad commute. But if I had to go all the way into New York City, even then, it was kind of a stretch. And a lot of people say, well, I go in once a week, twice a week. I don't have to go in a rush hour. And I work out of my house there for 3 days a week. New York City, still not a bad commute if that's your case, if you don't have to go in rush hour. But where people wanted maybe 10, 20 years ago to go to Route 31 and stop, And that's what I'm talking about, Clinton Township, Raritan Township, Reddington Township. Today, they're going to like Route 287 and stopping. They're just not willing to go that extra distance because there used to be a lot of jobs outside of New York, in the New York metro area, and some in New Jersey. So if you got within commuting distance of your job, and let's say all you had to do was go to Secaucus, that probably takes a half hour off your commute, if not more, from getting into New York. There's less jobs there today than there was. And as a result, more and more people are finding themselves having to go into New York City. And as a result of that, more and more people are reluctant to commute more than 45 minutes. And that puts them on the other side of 287, between 287 and New York City, to the east of 287. So that's one of the dynamics that has changed. And it's an important dynamic because it dictates who will buy your house and who won't buy your house. The second dynamic that's changed that's in direct conjunction with that is if you're in Somerset County and in a town that has good commuter rail service to New York City, you're probably going to get 25% more for your house. Your house is probably way above where it was at the peak because you got everything a commuter is looking for. Be able to hop on a train, get into New York in 45 minutes, and not have to drive 15 miles when you get off it at the other end. You got, first of all, we don't have good commuter rail service to Clinton or Hunterdon Town. There is, but it's a circuitous route, and it's I could say it's a drunken worm with an inky tail. That route goes all over the place to hit all the towns as possible. It might take an hour and a half to get from the far end, which is High Bridge, into New York City, because you have to do that to change your trains, either at Newark or at Junction Station at Secaucus. People want to be to work in 45 minutes. We don't have that. But we do have a wonderful quality of life and a bucolic lifestyle, and people are still willing to come here for that. So that's never going to change, and the people that are here are unlikely to leave, especially if they don't have to go to New York City. But getting more people to come, that's the issue. So we lose about 1.5% a year on attrition. These are people that either sell and move east, sell and move somewhere else, sell and go rent and go into 55 plus. We used to backfill that with the people that are coming in, and I'm not saying there's zero people coming in, but I am saying there's less people coming in than there used to be. Secondly, it looks like we're making nice progress in the millennial areas. I was talking to Mark Salek. He's going to be in one of my upcoming shows and talk about this in more detail. He's saying we are bringing millennials into Hunterdon County. So I would think a millennial coming into Hunterdon County is a millennial that either is working in a general area or is working somewhere between here and halfway to New York. I don't think a millennial working in New York is coming to Hunterdon County. But the fact that he says we are bringing millennials in is good news. Another thing that's happening, which is bringing houses onto the market, is that 26% of all houses with a mortgage are now equity rich. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know I had this much equity. Think about what happened. We usually sell a house every 7 to 8 years. Some people live in a house forever. Some people sell a house more frequently than that. But the average for the area is 7 to 8 years. If your 7 to 8 years was being 2005 and 2010, you probably didn't sell your house. So you kept on the house. You said it's just not a good time to sell. The price is down. The demand isn't there. And in effect, you kept making your mortgage payment, and now you're in your house 12 years. Well, once you go past that 10th year, your first mortgage payment, year one, you've got 360 payments to make. Your first mortgage payment, you're probably paying somewhere around 25% equity and 75% interest and taxes. After year 10, you're probably at a 50-50 ratio. So you're paying a lot more down on that equity, and people are finding themselves mortgage or equity rich when they go to take a look at how much equity they actually have in the house. Now, they may not realize this on a monthly basis. Who looks at their mortgage statement each month? You pay it, put it in a draw, pay it. You're probably doing it electronically anymore. But when you pull it out and you say, what's my house worth? Okay, the realtor was just here, and he said, probably about 5.25. And what do I owe on a house? My God, I owe $317 on the house. I have $200,000 in equity. And at the peak, I had a little bit more than that. But right after the peak, I lost about 30% of that. And now it's almost all back because I've been paying the mortgage down every month. A lot of people look at that and say, and there's a lot of considerations here, that, wow, it is the time to sell. I'm equity rich. And being equity rich means you don't have to sell. You may just refinance and take some of the money and do something with it. And you have to talk to your financial counselor or accountant to make sure you understand what you can and cannot deduct. But let's say you have a home equity loan on your house, and you use that to pay off the kids' college debt. Well, that home equity line is no longer tax deductible. So what you might be able to do without leaving your house is take out an equity, a loan, a new mortgage on a higher amount and pay off the loan that's not tax deductible any longer, and you're in much better financial shape. Or if you borrowed money against your house and you bought a summer house, and it's not major, but it's $250,000 and it's down the shore and it's a place you can get away in the summer months. You might have used the equity, home equity loan to pay that off. Now it might be a perfect time to refinance your existing house and pay that off because that home equity is no longer deductible. So people just now, just in the last month or two, as they've done their taxes, are realizing what the new tax code means to them. And in a lot of cases, it means it's time to sell. And that's where I come in the door. I can help you with this thought process. I'm talking to some accountants. I have accountants who are customers of mine, clients. And we are in business groups together, and we talk on a weekly basis. And they're telling me that unless you're above $500,000, you probably left the income tax office with a smile on your face this year. Because, yeah, you lost more than $10,000, but the whole tax scale slid down. And when you were paying 32%, you're probably now paying 24%, so you didn't get $10,000 worth of deductions, but you saved money all over the place. So you got to talk to your own financial advisor and tax accountant about it, but people are finding that they are equity rich. And I'm looking at a rising home prices have been in the news a lot lately. Much of the focus has been on whether or not home prices are accelerating too quickly. That's a falsehood. They're not accelerating too quickly. As well as how sustainable the growth is. Sustainability is a question. I think as the market slows down, which it will in a year or two, the growth will slow down. But I don't think we're going to go into a minus situation. Home equity is defined as the difference between your fair market value and how much you owe on it. And according to the latest equity report, 14.5 million U.S. properties are equity rich. And that's a client estimate of 50% or less of the property's estimated value. So combined estimated amount of loans secured by the property was 50% or less. That means you have 50% or more equity in it. And in New Jersey, 24% of the homes are in that situation. So we went through the home prices. We went through the equity situation. Let's talk about what the lack of listings did to us and what the cause for the lack of listings is. The real cause for the lack of listings was what I hit on a little bit earlier in the conversation. Those are the people who would typically move up one last time once the kids go to school and get that dream house. Didn't do it. Because they didn't do it because they went for the last 10 years, which are kind of rocky. They also didn't see buying a bigger house as a good investment. I can relate to that. And they just stayed put. And when they stayed put, they improved the house they're in and sometimes over-improved it, which means the money's never going to come back. Sometimes they take a four-bedroom house and make it a three, make a great, big, luxurious master bedroom suite. And when you go to sell it, people still want a four-bedroom house. So you didn't do yourself any favor long-term. But The lack of listings were caused because of that. People didn't move up. And they didn't move up because they didn't think it was a good value. They didn't think it was a good investment. And in a lot of cases, they couldn't find anything. Now, at least the inventory is there. Two to three reasons disappeared. And we are seeing people move up. So I would argue that maybe 25 to 33% of the people will still move up. And when they sell their 400 and buy a 600, well, then their 400 becomes available. Somebody just sold a 250 to a first-time buyer, and that opens up a house for a first-time buyer as well. So it's opening up inventory below it. Here's some quotes on the lack of inventory. Trulia said, total number of homes available for sale in the third quarter was the highest since 2018, but lower than it was a year ago. By the way, even though we're up, we're still at 50% the inventory level we were 10 years ago in 2011, really 8 years ago. Chief economist at NAR says, all indications we have a housing shortage. When you look at population growth and job growth, it's clear that we're not producing enough houses. And then a chief economist at Realtor.com says, buyers have been struggling for 4 years to find homes within their price range. And the bottom line to all of this is that if you're thinking of selling, now may be the time, because the demand is there, the demand is pent up, the economy is doing well, we're doing well job-wise, and we're doing well consumer confident-wise. We're in roughly our 100th month of economic recovery. We're probably going to go another year or two before that slows down appreciably or stops. And what we're seeing is already a slowness in the growth of the GDP, which means it's on its way, but it's way out there, hopefully another 24 months to go. And in real estate, we're probably going to see it 12 months before every other industry because people won't feel confident enough based on what's happening at work to go ahead and buy the next bigger house. But right now it's there. And right now, for the next 12 months, unless they raise interest rates again, and it doesn't look like they're going to do it in 2019, we're in really, really great shape. Dispelling the myth about home affordability. We've seen all the reports that say buying a home is less affordable today than it was any other time in the last 10 years. But those headlines are not accurate. And those headlines are accurate. But have you ever wondered why the headlines don't say 25 years or 20 years or even 11 years? The reason is because homes are less affordable today than 25, 20, or even 11 years ago. So you've got, and I got to tell you, this exists. If you don't think people get influenced by the bullcrap we see on the 6 o'clock news, I call it the sit down and curse at the television hour, they do. They do. And what they'll do is they'll hide the lie and the truth. And they'll say that homes are not as affordable. But they are. They say they're not as affordable as they were 10 years ago. But they're more affordable than they were 11 years ago and 15 years ago and 25 years ago. And that's why I'm saying you've got slanted news. I don't care which side of this political argument you believe in. I think they both have some good points. The news is not accurate, and I don't think I have to convince you of that. And I don't care which side you listen to. It seems to be 80% one and 20% the other. But if you listen to just one side and not the other, you come up with a very slanted viewpoint, and I don't care which side it is. Low prices plus more low affordable rates, which we're at, high affordability. NAR's current index stands at 146.7. That's higher than each of the last 10 years. And it peak